Good evening, my friends. Great to see you. Nice to sit with you. I love the end of that poem. I loved all the poem, but the end where it says, "Let life live through you." We understand that as meditators, because as we sit still and we let things be as they are, then there's nothing but life. We're not trying to mold it, fold it, bend it. We're just with it. And we begin to see what a relief that is. So we're in the middle, really, of a stream of lessons on how to sustain our practice, how to keep it going. It's not easy to create a habit, any kind of habit. But we're kind of highlighting what can support this practice. And of course, it is all about the practice, but there are certain things that could be useful to boost us on our journey. And so, why? Well, doing the practice as described by the Buddha brings results. Really, that's our first insight. Oh my, what I heard, what I read, I have experienced myself. And maybe the first one might be the monkey mind. Because when we first sit down, it doesn't matter, because I've sat down many, many times with the monkey mind. We get to know it. And we're not afraid of it. We're not pushing it away. We are getting to know it, getting to know the monkey mind. And we begin through our practice to learn how to view our thoughts as objects of meditation. They're really not much more than that. So our minds go crazy. And we can only comment by recognizing it and letting it be. Doesn't sound right, does it? Hello, busy mind. I recognize you. For some reason, and who cares, because that's beside the point, you are wanting my attention. So welcome. So working with our thoughts, we begin to notice how they come and go anyway. And we recognize the lightweight thoughts along with stronger thoughts. And these stronger thoughts, especially if we don't know how to relate to them, then they go to emotions. And, you know, we all know when we get to that point, emotional, then it takes over. You know, the whole system bows to those emotions. So I'm so happy tonight to be able to read this poem that I've read to some of you many times, but I never get tired of reading it because it says it so well. And it's called Crazy Mind. And it's by Bhakti G. And he says, somewhere in this process, you will come face to face with a sudden and shocking realization that you are completely crazy. Your mind is a shrieking, gibbering madhouse on wheels, barreling pell-mell down the hill, utterly out of control and hopeless. No problem. You are not crazier than you were yesterday. It has always been this way, and you just never noticed. You are also no crazier than everybody else around you. The only real difference is that you have confronted the situation, and they have not. Says it so well. It's nice to know. And so we begin to understand, we begin to open to the true nature of the mind, because that's how to live in the most peaceful way, is how to relate to our crazy mind. And of course, the nature of the mind is to think. And it's as natural as anything else that we do. As natural as breathing, or for the heart to pump blood through our system. It's a natural phenomena. And our motivation behind getting to know thoughts is not to get rid of them. But we're working on training the mind to reclaim its natural capacity to stay present. So our mind needs training. Why? Because it's been out of control for so long. And all of a sudden, like Bhante G says, we sat down, we're quiet, we're within, where everything is. And we see for ourselves. But the mind, in its true nature, is an affirmative phenomenon. There's this luminosity of the mind. The nature of clarity of the mind is there. That's its natural place. And the Dalai Lama says it can't even be explained in words. But on the ordinary level, it's obscured by concepts, different states of thinking, preoccupations. We know, because we've hung out with our minds. And that takes a lot of courage. Open our consciousness, open our awareness to what really the mind is all about. So really, in order to recognize the essential nature of the mind, we have to peel off these different layers and clear away these obscurations. That's what our meditation allows us to do. Then we see the truth. We see the truth of our own minds. Instead of being slave to it, and instead of it being in control. So we begin to see the true face of our own minds, and what an insight. And we're not training our mind to be better. We're training to bring out the mind's natural wakefulness. I mean, really, that's all we're trying to do in the whole practice, is to get to know the mind and body in a way that we have not looked at along the way. So the mind has a natural wakefulness. And the way we do that traditionally is the meditation. We meditate. And it takes quite a while to see that we actually can be awake and present. And when that happens, we live our lives differently. We're more creative and we're more engaged without letting the mind just decide how it's going to be in any given moment or day. Or it could be a lifetime if we don't understand the nature of the mind. I mean, we've already seen it can take over. And so when we meditate and we notice that our mind has wandered away from the breath, we bring it back. We bring it back to the present moment. And all we have to do is call ourselves back. And it's helpful to do the 5% of naming it. Oh, thinking. Mind. Planning. Doesn't matter what you call it, and you don't have to call it anything. But the essence is noticing it. We don't push the thoughts away. What we find, if we do push thoughts away, they come back with a vengeance. We note them. And then we turn to the present moment. And as we meditate, we simply acknowledge our awareness of thinking by just calling it by its true name. Oh, thinking. It's that simple. The insights can arise with that simplicity, wisdom. So the monkey mind is in all of us. Oh, doesn't matter how long one has meditated. And it's just a spin of relentless thoughts just takes over the whole system. And it creates a whole load of emotions if we don't know how to relate to it. And then it can go into anxiety attacks. I've had those before. Not often, but I've recognized it's an anxiety attack. Overwhelming. And so the spin of relentless thoughts, and it creates a load of emotions. And we feel out of control with the monkey mind. So what do we try to do? Well, we're conditioned usually just to talk to it. Give it a little dialogue. Oh, these thoughts are driving me crazy. They shouldn't be here. Oh, thoughts, why are you here? Oh, no, here you come again. See how we come to the monkey mind, how we relate to it. And that's the second arrow. Nothing is wrong with the monkey mind. Absolutely nothing. So we stop the dialogue and we invite the whole show in. In a friendly way. Hello, monkey mind. Come on in. Now, when I say friendly way, that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But in a relaxed way, like everything's okay. Relax. I heard a Dharma talk from a teacher this past weekend, and a Tibetan teacher who grew up with the Buddhist teachings. And he says, the relaxation opens us to all the possibilities. But do we know how to relax? I can tell you, I've had to learn how to relax. And I've been to some beautiful places all over the world. But it doesn't mean wherever I go, I'm relaxed. Why? Because wherever I go, I take my mind with me. So I can be sitting on the beach, looking at the ocean, looking at the sky, and have a busy mind. So where am I? Well, I'm in my head. But I can invite it in. Hello, busy mind, in a friendly way. So that acceptance, along with the stillness, will eventually calm the mind. And in relating that in a wise way, then we're no longer afraid of the busy, crazy mind. Why? Well, it's like everything else we get to know. We get to know its true nature. So it can't fool us anymore. So we know now that it doesn't have to stay on and keep going longer and longer and longer unless we decide to relate to it in an unwise way, which is talking to it, telling it to go away, or whatever we say to it. But we begin to experience for ourselves that it arises and it falls away. We know we're not going to get stuck in it. Thoughts arise and fall away. It's a natural phenomenon. So many times it's telling us, hey, I need your attention and acceptance. See me. That's really all emotions ever want from us. Not to make us miserable, but say, hey, here I am. How do I relate to you? Well, we relate to the emotions just like we do the monkey mind. Hello, emotions. We know you're there. You're part of me as a human being. And you rise and you fall away. And that acceptance and letting it run its natural course. This is something that you can hold deeply. Everything has a natural place. Everything has a natural life. What keeps us from knowing that is where we interfere in life. And it doesn't sound right because we're thinking, yeah, we need to stay in control because if we're in control, we can have an effect. Well, we do. But it's not what we want. Because we want to live in peace and calm. And we want to live as the best human being we can be. So we learn the nature of thoughts along with all the phenomena that we live with on a daily basis. And with that wisdom, more happiness, more freedom, more ease comes. A little at a time, maybe. Maybe faster. Who knows? But the mind cannot be in control. That's what we know. And as we notice our thoughts in meditation, we discover they're not in our control because they come up without our permission. And we swim in an uninvited, constant stream of memories, plans, expectations, judgments, regrets, and that's our life. And that is optional. We don't have to live like that. And the mind begins to show how it contains all possibilities. It opens us up to the bigger than the bigger of ourselves. We're much more than what's contained in this human being. But in knowing the mind, we begin to see the possibilities, the beautiful qualities of a saint. We see that. Or we see the dark forces. And these dark forces are what scares us to death, because we think that's who we are. And so we are courageous. We begin to see that I'm not all, I'm not this person. I'm not this body. I am right now. I'm in a human form. But we all know it's going to go away. So who am I when the form leaves? Well, that's what we're touching. And out of these, the mind plans and imagines and creates endless struggles and sensations for changing the world. When we go on a spiritual journey, we all of a sudden think we're going to change the world. Or we're going to change ourselves. All of a sudden, you know, the world seems heavy. Why? Well, we don't know. We are not privy to how the universe has set everything up. All we're privy to is observing it. Now, that doesn't mean there's not right action. That's not what I'm saying. And you know that. There is right action. But be a human being. Give yourself a break. Enjoy life. Enjoy a moment. And then the next moment. And then the next moment. Don't take on the world. You don't have the capacity, or we don't have the capacity, or the knowledge. We're not divine. We're not set up. We can, as individual human beings, do what we can do. And we follow our hearts. So, instead of being served by our thinking, we're driven by it in many unconscious and unexamined ways. Now, nothing's wrong with the thoughts or the minds. We've talked about this. But we know that it's out of control. And we know that we are constantly struggling with our likes and dislikes. Hires, lowers, self, others. They tell us stories, the mind tells us stories about our successes and failures, plans our security, habitually reminds us of who and what we think we are. So the dualistic nature of thought is the root of our suffering. And so whenever we think of ourselves as separate, fear and attachment arises, and we grow constricted, defensive, ambitious, territorial. So, we're working with the mind. And I'm out of time. Next time, I'll talk about Pema Chodron. Talks about three levels of discursive thought. So we'll extend the busy mind or the crazy mind, more about it next week. Okay. Thank you.